Have you ever thought about how blogs show up in your life? The most obvious way is in Google searches, or when you're on Pinterest via word of mouth, or when shared on someone else's social media. For the past 8 years, I've run two different types of blogs. One blog is about Colorado, and the other, which is Michelle's Money Hungry, the show you're listening to now, it's all about personal finance and lifestyle design through online entrepreneurship and making money with what you know, like selling what you know. About 3 years ago, people who would consider themselves traditional bloggers began embracing vlogging and podcasting. This trend has accelerated since then, but what I've noticed is that people going into vlogging and podcasting during that time typically don't seem to have a blog or website associated with their project. This is a huge mistake. In this episode, I'm going to break down the ins and outs of what a blog really is, what podcasters in particular should consider when starting a blog, and the role a blog or website would play in their future business. The show affiliate for this episode is Elite Blog Academy. I am a proud affiliate of Elite Blog Academy, a comprehensive blogging course that covers everything, and I mean everything about blogging, creating a digital business, and everything in between. I love the connection, the connections, the community, all the bonus materials that we receive as students and members of the Elite Blog Academy space, and the office hours, Facebook group, all the things. Check out the Elite Blog Academy blog for information, inspiration, and ideas. You'll go to the show notes at michelleismoneyhungry.com/should podcasters start a blog. Again, go to the show notes at michelleismoneyhungry.com/should podcasters start a blog. Now, when podcasters think about starting a blog, the following thought typically comes to mind. Not another freaking thing to do. I didn't start a podcast, so I have to do this blog thing. Like, what are you talking about, Michelle? And I totally get it. As podcasters, you're in the process of bringing audio content to your audiences. The goal for you isn't necessarily to drive them away from your show and have them read some random blog post about whatever it is that you feel like you're going to end up writing about. I would like to clear up a couple of misconceptions, though, about the role of a blog or website in a podcaster's life in particular. First and foremost, you should have a website slash blog to house your audio content on a platform that you own. I have a question for you. Have you ever thought about this? But what if the app that you're hosting your show on shuts down? What if your favorite social media just disappears like MySpace did? And I'm sure that there are listeners out there who are like, I have no idea what MySpace is. Well, you know why? Because it's gone. What about your show? Well, here's the thing. Your show can be embedded on your website. Now, I personally do not love the idea of pushing your show out via your website. I think it's good to have it hosted on a third via a third party like Libsyn. But when you are interacting with my show, you can go to my website in order to listen to it, or you could go to Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any apps that my show has seemed to made its way onto. Show notes. Question, where do your show notes live? And if you're trying to monetize your show, how are you doing that via an apps portal? Like, how are you sharing the HTML code that typically is connected to affiliates? And if you're like, I don't understand this affiliate thing that you're talking about, well, I make money with affiliate marketing. So there are affiliates that I share, such as Elite Blog Academy, where I actually have to embed a certain little snippet of code onto my website in order for people to interact with that link and have it connected to me. So if they make a purchase, I get that purchase. I get a percentage of that purchase. With apps, I'm not sure how easy it is for your listeners to go on there and interact in the way that you need them to in order to grow your income. Also, if I'm not on that app already, I don't want to be engaging in it. Like I've got app fatigue. I totally have app fatigue. So I don't want to add an app just to listen to you. I just don't. I need you on the big three, big four, what's out there. And I need it to be easy to find your show and easy to connect with your content, which is why people sharing on their social media and via friends and that kind of thing. That's why that's so important. For your show notes, how are you driving listeners to your show app? So if you're like, no, Michelle, like I love my app that I publish with, it's great. I'm like, well, how do you get me to your app? I've just said I have app fatigue. How are you getting me there? Just wondering. Searchability. This is a big thing. And I think a lot of people don't spend enough time considering this, but how are people finding your show? There's no right or wrong answer, but this is something to consider. So one, not everyone has an iPhone with the native podcast app on it. iPhones have a podcast app. More people are Android users and Android does not have that podcast app. I am an Android user. I do not have an app like that on my phone that just comes with the phone, right? So for those people and most others, they're finding out about your show via word of mouth, social media, as a guest on, or shout outs from other shows. So maybe you're a guest on another show, people shout you out, or SEO if you're smart. And SEO is search engine optimization. Again, that goes back to having your own website. It is impossible to optimize, in my view, an app, a show released on an app versus content that you have on your own website. Now, search engine optimization, what that is creating the keywords and searchable links for finding you easily via the internets. So, you know, when you go to Pinterest and you type in a phrase, that's and then like all sorts of like articles come up or just helpful pins, that's SEO. When you go onto Google and you type in how to eat gluten-free, that's SEO. That phrase, how to eat gluten-free, that's a searchable way to find content. So for your show, even if it's about the television show Picard or the place that you live, like the city that you live in, or mental health, whatever it is, they all have searchable phrases that people type in order to find content related to it. They all do. So if you don't have a website, it's very difficult for people just to organically find you. And an organic search is huge. SEO. So, you know, that whole, you know, rant like has led me into SEO. I could literally dedicate an entire podcast episode just to SEO. By the way, this is a bonus episode. I forgot to mention that. So this is a bonus episode. I am not editing this, so sorry about the ums. but I am doing bonus episodes each weekend until the first weekend of March, all about blogging. So this is why I'm talking about it. It's a bonus episode. Anywho's it. So SEO, again, I could dedicate an entire episode just talking about search engine optimization, but basically it's understanding how people search and find content online. That's it. Your goal is to figure out how they are searching and finding the content that you're covering via your show, your podcast. I'm going to give you three examples. I actually need to somehow contact Amy Porterfield because weirdly enough, her show URLs are not good for SEO. So her general show URL is fabulous. It's amyporterfield.com/amy-porterfield-podcast. So if I were to type in Amy Porterfield podcast, it would pop up immediately. What's problematic for her show actually is that each individual show note doesn't have a URL associated with it, like one that's easily searched. I was looking and they all have numbers. And so it's very difficult, I think, for Google to understand what's happening, because it says amyporterfield.com, but the rest is like gobbledygook. It's confusing. So I want to, if anyone's a fan of Amy Porterfield like I am, like, let her know. Like, be like, hey, your show's URL, like, you got to change that. She'll get a lot more organic search. Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income, huge fan. He does a great job with this for his shows because it's very easy to find the show links. So here's an example, smartpassiveincome.com/podcasts. And then the example one that I'm using is one with Monica Louie, who actually I've interviewed. Her episode's coming out this upcoming week. So it's smartpassiveincome.com/podcasts, 100K in debt to Facebook ads expert Monica Louie. That is completely searchable. Monica Louie, Smart Passive Income. If you were to type that in, that's going to pop up immediately. Super easy. And then Nikayla Matthews, I'm thinking this is how she says her name, Nikayla, from Side Hustle Pro, does a great job as well. She does not have a .com, which is a little tricky. However, sidehustlepro.co/Tamika Downs is a perfect way to find Tamika Downs episode. So organically. So if I'm just searching Tamika Downs organically, I could find that episode, like separate from searching for Side Hustle Pro. And so that is something that I think a lot of people don't even consider. Like, I might be doing a totally separate thing unrelated to ever knowing that you had a podcast, and I could find your podcast based on just how you set up your URL. Have you ever thought about user experience? Now, I'm going to be honest. I really hate when I'm looking to find my favorite show's website and all I can interact with is the app portal or Linktree, which I've begun to really hate. I really hate Linktree. I think that they need to like maybe change the interface a little bit, but I hate it. Like, I just want to get to your website and I want to see all the things and I want it to be easy. And I want it to be easy to interact with it. One of the great ways to actually to interact with your show is text to opt-in, where people text a code, like a key number. So it could be like 11111-Michelle is Money Hungry. And that would be the like a way to opt into my email list or something like that. So that is a very easy way to interact with my show. For example, and that's an example that doesn't exist. So text to opt-in is great because most people are listening to shows on their cell phone. So when you're thinking about user experience, not having a website of a sort affects people's user experience, especially if they do not want to engage with these other platforms. Bonus content. So if you're like, Michelle, I'm still not excited about this idea of having a blog, I also want you to think of it as a website versus a blog. I think that this is where people get lost in the trees. You are providing content for people who are already interested in your show. If you're monetizing via Patreon, it's a great place to really create community and get people connected to you. If you have bonus content that you want to offer, say, for example, you're like, you know what? I don't want to be writing all these posts. This is crazy. You could have guests posts that you just upload onto the site. And that's a great way to get other people excited about sharing their content, their say, their opinion about whatever it is your show is about. Having a blog or website allows you to craft a professional corner of the digital world where you can highlight products that you're selling, your contact information, your media mentions, your scheduling link, especially if you're a coach of some sort, your media kit, all of your social media handles. Like, how are you doing this on apps? Like, I don't even understand how you're getting all that done. Marketing your show. Ask yourself, how does your show look to brand managers or people who are looking to collaborate, etc.? Be honest with yourself. Pinterest, by the way, is not a social media platform, but it's a search and find search engine. So you're marketing a show, are you sharing it on Pinterest? Are you sharing it on social media in easy to find ways? Are you going on other podcasts as a guest? Are you on media? So are you landing media spots, and are you making it easy or difficult for people to find your show? If I'm on like Channel 4 here in Denver, I am not going to tell the entire city of Denver that they have to go to an app to find me. I'm going to tell them how to get to my website, and then they can go from there. If you are less than a year into your podcasting journey, excuse me, I'm not saying that you have to have a website. In fact, I would say that you need about a year before you make that decision, only because it takes about a year, in my view, to understand the role of your podcast, the purpose behind it, what you want to have happen with it. But the longer your show runs, it becomes much more important for you to consider your overall goals as are related to your show. It is imperative, in my view, the older your show gets, to have a website associated with you. It's a different experience for the user. It's a different way to show that you're out there. And honestly, it just seems a lot more professional. That being said, do you have a podcast website associated with your podcast? What has been your experience? By the way, you don't have to have anything extra besides your show notes. Like, you could literally have the podcast and all you do is host your show notes and then the other additional information, like how to get in touch with you, how to get your media kit, that kind of thing. So it doesn't have to be that complicated, but I would say it's very important to have a corner of the world that is all about you, where you highlight your strengths, how to work with you, all the things, so that you can make some money, grow your business, grow your platform, help more people. You need a website. That is all. Let me know what you're thinking. If you like the show, again, it's bonus content. I will be releasing episodes every weekend from now until the first weekend of March. Go to michellesmoneyhungry.com/shouldpodcasterstartablog today. Thank you for listening.